The Football Pod on Off The Ball in partnership with AIB, proud sponsors of the Football, Hurling and Camogie All-Ireland Club Championships. Hashtag the toughest.
Hello there, and you're very welcome along to the Football Pod Club. I'm back with James O'Donoghue and Paddy Andrews, and I'm delighted to welcome two very special guests. Katie Cronin and Louise Nimmer-Hertie, how are you?
Good, thanks. Good, thank you.
We're in the Great Southern Hotel here in Killarney. A fantastic establishment. James, we've been here before.
Yeah,
we did a lovely roadshow with Mark O'Shea a couple of years ago, Paddy.
We did, yeah. I did Ralph Canale for the live. The hostile crowd that night for a dub now, but...
You've struggled in Killarney the last few times we've come down, haven't you?
Have I? Maybe. I lost a race against you on the main street as well. Yeah.
Katie, you're back on Friday night for the All-Ireland Medals presentation, so we kind of thought this was the perfect place to come to have a chat with you. Are you excited for that?
Looking forward to it now, yeah. It's going to be a good night. It's been a while since we've all been together, I suppose. It was a little bit fancy for us. But look, really,
you're only back from New York.
Yeah, but half of them were gone before we'd arrived. So yeah, look, to have everyone together under one roof would be class. And hopefully we'll behave ourselves.
I'm sure.
Warning shot. Let them know.
Louise, it's been a couple of months since you got the job done, and we'll come back to that and the kind of moments afterwards a little later. But have the last few months, like, what have they been like, really?
Yeah.
You're a long time waiting for that.
It's been unbelievable. It's been a very, very busy few months, but a good busy, if you can call that. Being going here, there and everywhere, but it's just been unbelievable just to finally have the job done and obviously come back here Friday night to get our medals and get our hands on that medal will be something very special.
Yeah. Black tie, all the family are coming.
Yeah, black tie, we're just saying, as Kayleigh said, a bit fancy for us, but sure, we'll get on with it, and just to, as I said, just to get the hands on that medal will be unreal.
It's become evident, just listening to you over the last little while, and to get to the stage you got to, and come back from where you were, you need to be tight as a group, but it's very clear that you guys have a great group there in Kerry.
Yeah, absolutely, I think that's what got us over the line this year as well. You know, we became a very tight unit, I suppose, with all the losses that we had the last few years on the big day. But we became a big family, and I think anytime we weren't together, we wanted to be together and try to meet up as much as we can outside of training as well. And you know, we got through the bad days together, and eventually we got over the big one. And if it wasn't for our tightness and our bond, I don't think we would have got over the line at all.
But it's a sign of a great team, isn't it, to come back from a couple of heartbreaking defeats in finals especially, and to not let it finish you, and to actually come back and win.
It did nearly finish us, I suppose, as a group. Do you know, the management were nearly gone, some of us were nearly gone. And
just because it was so disappointing.
Yeah, absolutely. It was absolutely awful, losing, especially last year, you know, second year in a row. But I think we met together, a gang of us and Darren Deck, September last year or something. Sometime
2 weeks after the final.
And just kind of said, look, we'll row together once more, and thankfully we did, and thankfully we got over the line for them as well.
The sooner you get back in a room together as well, I think, is important, because if you leave it too long, that's when people do make decisions.
This might be a stupid question. Probably is a stupid question, but why was it so bad?
I think the first year we were riding a wave, we were saying we were winning one game, and then next we were saying, Jesus, we're flying here, this is unreal. And we won the semi-final against Mayo, as far as if my memory is right. We got to go back, and it was only a free shot, nobody expected us to be there, and obviously you never go out to lose a game, but we were kind of Jesus, this is unreal.
This 22.
Meade had been there, done that, and were very, very good, and had obviously known the rigmarole that goes around it. It's different to any other kind of a game, realistically. There's a lot of media stuff the week before it, and your training was affected by it, and all this kind of crack, and the journey up was different, and training before was different, and that was, to be honest, our biggest mistake. And we had kind of felt afterwards that was the one. Now look, we got it out the way, and we didn't make a good we didn't do a good showing of ourselves, and we felt that if we got a chance to get back there again, we'd put the wrongs right.
That's kind of why
Dublin
lose one to win one, isn't it?
Lose two apparently. But just coming into the Dublin game, I think I felt we approached it a lot better. I thought we handled everything around it very, very well. and just forgot to perform. The most important part of it. And that's why I felt like, and also kind of felt like, Christ, like the lads had been here there, what, 4 years at that stage. Mm-hmm. You know, like girls had put their lives on hold for, you were probably, what, 15, 16 years at the time. Mm-hmm. Like, would people go again was the worry. And you were saying, is that our chance gone? Like, I think that's why the second one was just kind of like, we were like, yeah, we had our chance the first time, but this was the real chance. That, and we felt we didn't take it.
The dressing room then, like that day after Dublin, because like, remember, like, Hannah Tyrrell catches fire in the first half, and sometimes you come up against a team that are just on it, but in a lot of ways, it was a relatively new Dublin team as well that performed on the day, and like, did a lot of young players that had come through. So the dressing room after that game, and we're going to get to the good days in a few minutes.
It's not normally this grim.
But the dressing
room... We should emotionally break it down first.
This is our approach. Can you remember that?
Yeah. You try to delete it from your memory, but I think it'll stay with us probably forever. And, Joe, thankfully, we got out of line this year, which kind of helps. But, yeah, that was absolutely horrific, even having to stay on the pitch, obviously, for just respect to Dublin, to watch them lift the cup, even though I don't think I actually saw Carlo Rowe lifting the cup. But yeah, look, it's something that you'll never forget. You know, that heartbreak was just absolutely horrific. And as Katie said, you know, it felt like, okay, that's it. We'll never get this chance again. Because I did feel that, and we all felt that we had ticked all the boxes that year. And just Dublin were far superior for us on the day. You know, they were coming in as underdogs as well, and nobody was giving them a chance all year round, and I think that really helped them as well. And like, they were still next in Dublin team. I have no idea why people weren't giving them any chance. And then obviously they had Mick Bohan as well, one of the best in the business. Like, so yeah, Mick did come into the restroom afterwards to speak to us. But
that's something that happens, you know, under 12s, the whole way up, the opposition manager will come in and everyone gets told the wished. I'm not sure many people really listen. You know, it's kind of hard to take in what's being said in a moment like
that. You could hear a pin drop, to be honest with you. No, it was because we were depressed on top of it. But yeah. I swear to God, like, I sat near the digital sink, because I always do whatever. But I remember kind of like, he came in and I was like, oh, fuck's sake. Like, I'm depressed enough as it is. But to be fair to the man, like, geez, he spoke so well. Like, and like coming from him as well, like, they'd been there before in years previous. Like, they were three in a row, weren't they?
They lost a lot.
And they had to win, four? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, he knew what it was like to be in that position, you know? So, yeah, look, like Kartik said, like, he's obviously one of the best in the business with how many years. And huge respect for him before that moment and 10 times more after it.
Yeah.
Does that, Louise, you're under out such a long time, you spoke about losing those defeats. We're on to the positive stuff now, I swear. That final whistle, people feel different emotions when you achieve your dream. You know, we all play since we're kids, try to win the All-Ireland, whether it's Brendan Martin or Sam Maguire. And people have different emotions at that time. Some, they're fucking mental, elation, they're running around, heads on fire. Others, I remember at different times in my own career, it was relief, nearly. Mm. It was just kind of like, thank God that's over. It might make sense for people who haven't experienced it. It's like, this should be the best moment of your life, but there's so much pressure and the journey to get there, the heartbreak, when the final whistle goes this year and you finally win it. What was that like for you? Was it that moment of like, I can relax now, nearly? Yeah, or did you go mental?
No, I think it was relief. Yeah, I think the pressure had mounted. It was ridiculous this year. The pressure we probably put on ourselves and the pressure within ourselves was frightening, really. And every game, like, right, come on, just get over this. It's just another game kind of
thing.
It doesn't
sound so enjoyable for people that listen to it. It's like, did you enjoy it at all? It was like, I enjoyed the end of it when we did it.
Yeah, I enjoyed the last few minutes of that All-Ireland final. Yeah.
That was one of the greatest substitutions of all time. 3 minutes to go. But you get that moment. Like, I was covering the game with Ciara Trant from Dublin. Ciara was in tears beside me. I think everyone kind of copped what this meant, and you had your little jump and your celebration with the lads.
So yeah.
At least you had that, like, that's an extra addition on top of it.
And knowing you're going to win at that stage,
you're allowed to celebrate, like.
Yeah, Emma had scored the third goal, cool out, and then obviously made the substitution, but I just thought, you know, I'm an old one now, they'll take me off and give someone else a chance in All-Ireland final day, and, you know, we were going to win it, but... yeah, I kind of said, Jesus, maybe I shouldn't have jumped into Dick and Dara's arms at all.
It was
but
class. It was iconic. Class.
I couldn't help myself. You know, they got us over the line. You know, we wouldn't have been in that situation if it wasn't for them and their management team. So, to have that moment was just extra special on that very special day.
Do you know, just on the lads and the management team, how did it work having two managers, like a joint managership? Because
it doesn't always work.
I suppose, yeah. The fact that, and every report I've heard about them has always been so positive and they're so organised, but like, how did that work? How did they actually do it together and not clash at some stage? Or
yeah, I'm sure they did clash at times, sure, I'd say, yeah. There was always kind of a good cop and a bad cop.
That was it, yeah. And I think that was the best thing they did, was like, it was never always Dara being good cop, Dick being bad, and vice versa. One would fly off the handle, and the other fella would realise, hold on, no, this is grand here, so I'll have to kind of set the ship a bit or whatever. But it's funny, like, because they didn't know, like, they knew each other from playing each other in football, but they weren't friends, like.
Oh, really?
Oh, it's never right. Each other,
Wow.
Dara rang Dick and he said, what is this fella want? Like, you know? And their wives, ended up actually, they were
neighbours. They
in Waterford, they never knew, like.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, and then it's funny, like, how it comes around. But, no, it worked very, very well. It was unusual. I'd never experienced management team, even club, whatever, with two head honchos. But
and it was like that. It was 50-50.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. There was no. I couldn't tell you which one was head of the other. Anyway, myself.
Yeah.
But yeah, like that. As I said, like, because sometimes, like even for managers, and no matter how experienced you are, like sometimes you get it wrong, or sometimes your reaction is wrong, or you can fly off the hand in the whole direction. You're like, oh, Jesus Christ. You always had the other fella in to kind of back it up and say, like, do you know what? Spinning around here now, we're grand. But it was never one over the other. They always kind of did balance it pretty well. But yeah, I don't know what's the next for them now.
Yeah, they've obviously made the decision.
Can you mention the All-Ireland final? It's just treated like another game. It's not.
Yeah.
This is it. Like, the country is watching everything you've trained for, family, friends, tickets. There are so many distractions with it. And you probably didn't deal with it for the Meath game. And they were going for back-to-back. It was a brilliant team, obviously. Was there a distinct difference from the 22 final to the Dublin final, even though it didn't go well, and then to this year to finally winning? What was the big changes in kind of preparation for you guys to... Because we've seen it so many times. Some teams just don't perform.
Yeah.
And they get that bit of it wrong.
Yeah.
You know, and for Dublin, it was their best performance.
Yeah.
They had that experience. And they say, Mick and Madair so many times, a lot of those players. What did you guys change to definitely contribute to finally winning the gig?
Yeah, I think actually, like, one of the biggest things for me from, let's say, last year to the two previous years was we caught a training session from the game before the final, semi-final and quarter-final.
You dropped
right.
Yeah, we dropped one. We went a gym, one big session on, like, let's say a Wednesday, if the game was a Sunday, a primer, and then the game.
Yeah.
Whereas we would have always had been gym, two pitch,
Wednesday, Friday, Sunday.
Primer, like travel game and all that. You were shagged.
That would have been a lot, yeah.
And the second
travelling as well for girls.
That was it.
There's a lot of travelling by girls.
The second session wasn't actually strenuous. It was a warm-up and a kick around. Which are you?
Mentally, you're
getting
gear on again.
Travelling an hour to get there, half an hour rub from physio, warming up. Then you're trying to, you only get probably five kicks of a ball because they're saying, mind yourself, and you're saying, I'm here an hour and a half.
Mind myself, like,
and it was just,
love you,
that was it, like, okay. On the Wednesday, like, when we did one big session, you were able to kind of, like, get it out the legs and actually get a good run at it, rather than having to mind yourself for next session. So I thought that was one of the best things we did.
Yeah.
And minding yourself is the hardest thing to do, like, because you're not, you're not getting any on the session.
No.
You're actually nearly more likely to
get a knock.
Yeah.
Get a knock.
But isn't that sometimes if you don't have that experience, teams will feel like the more you do, because it's such a big game, you end up chasing it. Whereas actually just being able to relax,
like,
a bit
and
go, the work is done.
I think last year if we pulled back a training, we would have had panic.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to train, we're not going to be able to kick the ball. The lads are trying to tell us, for God's sake, you're not going to lose your skill, like, but they were trying to get us to relax a bit before a game or whatever, but... No, we'd panic if we didn't have a training session like on a Friday or whatever. But this year we realised, okay, that didn't work for us last year. We'll try something different kind of thing.
With all the pressure on you, and you've kind of spoken about it, I know you've spoken about how even a difficult year in general was in terms of pressure and even finding form. You delivered on the biggest day. Like, there must be such satisfaction in the fact it wasn't like you just got over the line. Like, he strangled Galway from very early on in that game. You probably could have had a penalty. I didn't know he got a free to put you maybe five clear. And... you know, you were just on top from the first minute, like.
Yeah, I suppose
we had a couple of minutes, and Galway probably did have an okay start, but you just...
Galway had probably a better start, actually.
Yeah.
And then we finally kicked on, but I think we had a performance this year, like Dublin did to us.
Okay.
You know, we had just that perfect day, and what a day to do it. Like, but I think we were just very prepared mentally as well as physically.
That's,
I think,
the big thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, mentally was. Sometimes we did a lot of different things this year leading up to the game as well. Even on the day of the final,
like what?
We left the hotel. We normally would have stayed in the hotel for the whole day. We'd have had mass inside the hotel.
Okay.
We actually went to a mass to a church, and
where did you stay up in Dublin?
Louis Fitz.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
yeah, we didn't change hotels now.
You kind of wanted to, I think,
The Louis Fitz were excellent for us. So
he left in the morning.
We left after breakfast. Yeah, we went to mass, and yeah, it was actually great to get out of the hotel. Lovely mass. Saw a few Galway jerseys and all that. The priest played Rosa Tralee before mass and all that. That kind of gave us a bit of a kick as well. But
just took your mind off it for an hour,
We just left and just kind of instead of sitting around waiting.
It can get on top of you, even if you're unbelievably experienced in it. It's
definitely in a hotel.
Sitting around, it's just, it gets in and you just end up being tight and tense.
Mm.
Whereas you guys, you could see it in your performance. It looked like, you know, everyone says that you played it like another game, even though it's not.
Yeah.
But your performance was so relaxed. You could just see, you know, God, we had a small period, but Kerry's going to win this game. Like, and it showed the confidence which is played at. So it's just that.
Who was rooming with the Gooch when he slept until like 12 o'clock? I'm probably exaggerating here. 1 o'clock today.
The bus is going there, Colin. You might want to get up. But I got stung badly at mass 1 year we were in the final. We walked down to go to mass, and your man came around with the bucket to put a few coins in.
You were taking a few credit out, were you?
None of us had any money. So what did I have? 50. I said, if I don't put this in now, we're definitely not.
Who won't find it?
Bait by Dublin 2 hours.
The rain. Yeah, beautiful.
It was sick there though. 50.
You were taking money out of
Dublin there. Investment. So from the final whistle to this Friday when you get your All Ireland medals, was the highlight rooming with Kayleigh over in New York?
Yeah. Nobody else to room with her, to be honest. So.
Trip looked unreal.
You
went at the end of October,
during midterm there. Yeah, the Wednesday till like we landed back Tuesday morning.
Just the team really, like, so about 40?
Yeah, the whole lot of us really. The girls that were playing with Scart and Castle Island had big games coming up the following weekend, so they went out Sunday to Thursday. Then we all went out there Wednesday until the Monday night, I suppose. But yeah, it was unbelievable. It was some trip, like, you know, we never thought that we'd get a trip like that. We were absolutely spoiled. It was frightening. How well we got treated and all that, and we didn't really put our hands in our pockets at all, like, you know, and that's kind of like, that's unknown territory to us. They'd be well used to this.
Cash up there, we don't get a thing.
I'm not putting up with it.
Revenue is coming, we might just press pause in this conversation. So New York was unreal.
Unbelievable, yeah. You're the same, you've never been.
No.
So we kind of did everything the first 2 or 3 days to try to get out the way. We had some class things as well, like, you know, we went to an NFL game and an NBA game as well. And like I said, like, didn't put our hands in our pockets. Like, I heard at the start there, I remember Darryl ringing me, like, you will never believe this, or like, flights and accommodation, sorted. I said, you're messing with me. I couldn't get over it. So I was already taking donations myself before we went to try and fund it. But
GoFundMe page set up.
It was something else. Like, the boys did Trojan work getting funding started, like, you're around the county, like, and literally everybody who could helped out with it. And yeah, look, it's something we'll remember forever. And ferociously grateful for it as well, yeah.
It does mark the end of a journey because Dara and Declan have decided to step away, and Mark Burke was recently appointed. I know he's from Na Gaeilge and Tralee, and he's brought a new management team in with him. But I've heard you speak before about you were at rock bottom in a lot of ways, Kerry. And I know you had only really broken in around that stage. What was the difference like? Was it, from listening to some of your teammates over the last couple of years, it seems there was a family environment created and you all got very close, but it must have been more than that.
Yeah, look, in previous years, we would have been very close as well. Some of my best friends, I would have played them like years ago. I don't know, the lads just brought in this crazy amount of passion for the game. And I suppose they had the big job on to instill belief in the older players, as the younger players would have come through minor with them, and then obviously Caitlin, them, she did see some of the bad days, right?
Really?
But like previous years, they just had to instill a lot of belief in the older players first, and then when they kind of got us on side, then sure, it was just it was a match made in heaven.
Like, the longevity of your career was one of the amazing things ever, but during that period there was obviously Cork for a period, Bolton Camogie on football, unbelievably dominant. Then Dublin had their window where they were on top, and that could be a hard place to be. You know, say nearly mentally, if you're the scars of that building up year on year on year, and you feel like we're getting further away from this thing. You know, what does it take? Is it that kind of just a new manager, a new voice to come in, a new, I don't know, vision from them? Is it like physical training? Is it what was there two or three key aspects that you feel brought you from looking at Cork and Dublin in this period and going, we're on top?
Yeah, obviously we would always have to play Cork, and that was just an unbelievable team, one of the greatest ever. And then obviously Dublin came along, but yeah, we were at rock bottom, and we did need some crew to come in and really shake things up, and that's what they did. The energy they brought, the passion they brought, the commitment was unbelievable. Like, it was a full-time job for them. It wasn't just 3 or 4 days a week with us, it was 7 days a week. They couldn't work at all.
Yeah, it was standards.
It went through the roof. Yeah. It was very professional. The minute they came in, they came in to help us in 2019 towards the end of the year, and we lost to Dublin in that quarter final. And normally you'd be down the dumps and another year gone, and we still haven't won it. But there was something very different that year, and they had come in, and we were like, right, we need to keep on to these now.
You got a sense that there was something.
Yeah, there was something special about them, and they were ones that we were searching for a few years. They just had everything.
Yeah.
And they were just class acts, and it was a long journey to get to where we got to last August, but it was just an unbelievable journey, and they gave it everything they could. They gave it everything, as in
they had very young families as well, giving up so much time with them and everything. It was hard for them as it is for us, realistically. They were there an hour before us, an hour after,
And we're committed. Like, we rocked the training and trained. They had to plan everything. They had to make sure every girl was happy and fit and all that. And
doing dirty jobs, at home pumping the balls, washing the bibs. The bibs aren't washed. It's one of the management that does it. It's not we don't have somebody to do that. We don't have somebody to fill our water bottles, all this kind of crap. Yeah. That's
men's team to take boys.
They had an unbelievable management team as well. I can't really name the whole album, but there's just some special crew there, and
working with you.
The amount of work they did in the background as well. I know Darren Deck always get the limelight, and obviously but the management team they worked hand in hand, and they were just class.
Yeah. Can you imagine yourself getting into?
Ah, Jesus, James, give me coaching a chance. I do a bit in school, so I'm happy with that at the moment.
That's actually a good intro into it, I think. All the teachers seem to be decent coaches, because I used to actually taking groups and communicating, so it is a good start.
Yeah, it's not until you get involved in management where you see there's so much involved in it, just rock up to training. You have to organise so many things,
Jesus.
Look after the girls, all that, and it's not until you get involved that you realise that, and you've that bit more respect as well for those that are doing it voluntarily.
Unbelievable passion for it. If you're talking about senior inter-county as well, it's the pressure is one thing, but that time, we're players, takes up all your life, and you're only looking after yourself. Trying to do that for 35 players plus, they have to manage the rest of the management team as well. The time commitment is incredible.
You all know it from playing as well. There's that ravenous hunger to win. It must just be in the same sense. Maybe you won't know until you're away for a couple of years that you're like, oh God, I've something here I need to fill. I need to chase something competitively again, because obviously that must be one of the reasons for doing it, is that want to actually win and succeed.
Yeah, and I think Deck has said in a few interviews, when he retired as a player, he needed to get involved straight away because he missed that team kind of environment. I know Darrow probably would be the same. They're just obsessed. They're obsessed with football and they have that drive and the want to help teams win and succeed and kind of progress as players. But also what they had is they looked after us as people as well. We were more than just players and more than just winning the Brendan Martin. They looked after us outside of training as well and made sure that we were happy and mentally ready for for everything.
He needed that though, didn't he?
Yeah, Jesus, they had a big job in hand there.
Really?
Yeah, full-time job there for, with some of us, so.
Psychologists.
Yeah, they were, yeah.
We might come back to that in a second. You are watching and listening to the Football Pod Club. It's brought to you with thanks to AIB that brought us all around the country this winter. We've been with the Armagh boys earlier this year. We were in Dublin with James McCarthy, Monaghan with Rory Began and Conor McManus, and we're in the Great Southern Hotel here in Clarny right now with Louise and Kayleigh. AIB are sponsoring the club championships in hurling, football, ladies football and camogie this year, bringing them all together. Check out hashtag the toughest for more. I want to talk about the Club All Ireland final in a couple of minutes. But if you don't mind, we might just talk about the background and the kind of how you got into it as well, because your own kind of way into the Kerry side is fascinating, if you don't mind me saying. You disappeared from the game for about 8 years.
Yeah.
And am I right in saying this now? So you pursued a career in athletics. Mm-hmm. It was international discus that you actually specialised in.
Yep.
And can you just talk us through that? Because when you put Kayleigh Cronin into YouTube, what comes up is you firing a discus about 50 metres. It's still up there.
Yeah. Look, I was like everyone, I suppose. When you're younger, like, you're at everything. But fairly quickly, my body kind of started to react. Like, and for that age, like, what age? You're 12, 13. Like, your body should be well able, like, you know. And I ended up getting a bad injury in my back, and I think I was only about 13 or 14, and doing discs, like,
oh,
at
really?
14, like, you know.
How? And what happened? Just
your eyeballs. Embarrassing, like, realistically, like, going from one thing to the other, and, you know,
different sports.
Just, yeah,
okay.
But probably just being overloaded, like, you know, if you're 12, the under-13s went to, the under-14s went to, the under-15s went to, that's
so this football, is
football, soccer, school, basketball, everything. Athletics, yeah, yeah. Everything, like, you know.
But by athletics, are you talking
everything, that's
everything
the thing.
Athletics.
Oh, really? Yeah, you don't specialise until
like
later
modern pentathlon, like, you're at that
I used to, if I could run, I probably would have, but they couldn't get me to anything over about 50 metres. So there was no 50 metre race for me. But I did like shot, javelin, I did high jump, long jump, I did everything else. Wow. Basically, pole vault for a while.
Unbelievable though. And that's some like grounding for football, even like.
Yeah.
Even 100%. If you were never going to go on and pursue it or whatever, like, but the benefit your body probably took from that is
incredible. I think it's like, I don't think I'd be the same footballer I am today if it wasn't for the athletic background, you know. Mm. It's completely different in the type of training we did. But yeah, look, my back gave me awful trouble when I was literally 14, and sure, like, that can't be right, like, either.
Yeah.
So they basically just said, like, I'd take 3 months off. I ended up having to get some sort of an epidural yoke and just literally rehab to the nines. And they were like, you may as well start making a decision here now, like, and trying to mind yourself. So the one that kind of had the most hope at the time was the athletics. So I fired into that and just, you know, like that, see where it would take me. Had good crack, like, and everything, like.
You were representing Ireland, weren't you, in international tournaments underage? Yeah. Am I right in saying that at 18, you were offered the chance to pursue professionally in New York?
Yeah,
What's that like? Is that like a college scholarship in New
York? Yeah, basically, yeah. I was at home one day, and a letter came through the drawer and said,
that doesn't just happen like that. Oh, come on.
Out of the blue.
And you're at DCU instead. Like.
DCU instead.
How did that come about?
That's a bad choice, surely.
Yeah, it was literally, that's how it came about, I swear to God. I let her through the front door. I said, we're stuck for someone, to be honest, if they were coming off the Kerry. But yeah, that was it. Like, and I kind of hummed and hawed. I looked into that. She ended up doing the exams called? I can't remember. SATs or something, whatever they are. Bottom of the barrel stuff is where it was.
Scholarship was for.
I was ready to go for it. Like,
were you?
And I said, what are you at? Like?
So are you saying your first time in New York was a couple of weeks ago with
Did you visit the college?
No, I didn't. So I looked it up on the internet, all right.
Really?
But I was actually kind of down the line of looking to be like, you know, like, again, like that, like, if you're useless or you don't like it, come home.
Mm.
But the courses that were there were, like, very different to what I wanted to do. And I think the closest thing I could have done to something in what I related to was, like, science, I said, or biology or something.
Yeah, yeah. Because you're more general kind of degree.
Yeah, and you have to specialise that. I don't know.
So you're working as a personal trainer now?
Yeah.
In a gym?
Yeah.
And you did athletic therapy and training in DCU and then a master's in UL in sports performance.
Yeah.
So you knew you wanted to go down that road.
Yeah, like I said, like, it's kind of cutthroat over there as well. Like, let's say, like, if you got injured there for a year, like...
Yeah.
And like your scholarship was cut, like you're paying 800 grand the next year.
They could cut it if you get injured.
Not a bother,
Ruthless over there, like.
Very, like, yeah.
You're so, commodity, like.
And you had a fair share of injuries, like, did you?
Your
shoulder?
Yeah, like, niggly, yeah. It was my shoulder at the time when I actually ended up leaving athletics. It was that summer I did something through the labrum or something in the shoulder. Like, that's just overuse. And that's what they kind of put a halt to my summer. I was training at the time for the World 23s. I had one more qualification to get, or like one more distance to get. I had one gotten, And it just kind of gave way. And it was all right, like, but I knew well that I wasn't going to make that competition. So I said, we'd second in for the summer and just rehab it properly for the following year. And went home anyway, and I remember Crokes were stuck for a girl.
So this is after nearly a decade out of club football?
I don't know, is it that long? I suppose probably about 12, maybe, I suppose, maybe quitting, and I'd say, maybe 18, maybe.
Still a fairly important time.
When you were doing the athletics, were you passionate about that, or was Gaelic football?
Football was number one.
Even when you weren't playing?
I'd be watching it, I'd be going to the games, I'd be always check up the scores and this and that, and I'd be thinking that's class, but in my head I'd made my mind up, it was too late. Do you know that kind of way?
Were you sickened to be out of it?
I remember at Croke, 2017, the year they won the All-Ireland, and we had gone to every game and the way up, and we had organised a training camp with this fella who's basically the world number one coach. Like, he's from Iceland, and he had the world number one in the males, and he had the Olympic record and everything. He was his coach. Like, and there was a group of us going out to him in the Grand Canaries for training camp. And it was a big long training. We planned in advance and everything. This was the one, and we were going to use that basically as our training base to get the next qualification for the Worlds, and all going to be going swimmingly. We were over there the next few months, but every way I checked, anyways, Croke going further and further and further. Sure, I don't find
Paddy's McKendley.
Oh, no.
Anyway, it was over, and I was humming and hawing. I said, what will I do? I said, I can't miss it. I can't.
You didn't go at all.
So I was over there, since I'd in Spain. I was training away and everything. Next few months, this. I'm going to have to pull something here. I should have done that. It would have been easier. I said, I'm going to have to hit home there, but there's a funeral. I got to get to my home. I made the point. That'll tell you, though. The grow wasn't the same. Like, I was going home for a coach game.
Someone like
this. Stephen Ireland.
And I said, it's pure bad luck. I was having no superstitions. I said, oh, Christ, like, either Croke's going to lose or someone's actually going to die. But thank God neither of the two happened. So.
Thank God they got the job done.
That's what I said. Don't regret it for a second. Best weekend of my life, I'd say. That'll tell you enough. Yeah. That if I was skipping out in training camps there to come home and watch the Croke.
So you come back then. You have an injury when you're in DCU and you come back and you go back in with the group. Pretty quickly you realise, being in a group environment, the crack, that's kind of where you want to be, like.
Yeah, literally training top pitch above and loose road and Crokes. Like, it was just unbelievable crack. I was useless. Like, hadn't obviously played in Yanks or whatever. Hadn't ran more than 50 metres in about 6 years.
We'll come back to that in a second.
So the conditioning kills me and kills me to this day. Ferocious crack. Like, you know, just, I was so used to going up in the morning and evening myself, like, and
hail, rain, sleet, or snow.
Throwing discs and
kicking.
What is an individual sport like? Is it... Is it that lonely side of it?
It is, ferociously, yeah.
Constantly.
Yeah. There's obviously pros and cons, like, in a sense of, like, if you win, like, it's because of absolutely everything you did. Do you know what I mean? Like, but at the same time, then if you lose,
you can't blame me.
Exactly. I can't blame this one over here.
It's useless, that fella.
So it works both ways, like, you know, but tis.
It didn't take you long. A year later, you're obviously 12 years into a 17-year career at this stage with Kerry. And a year later, Katie Cronin rocks in.
Big beast herself, yeah.
Was there a rawness there? Or like, what? Somebody who'd been out of the game for so long and has now been drafted into an inter-county panel?
I don't think there was a rawness there. Of course she's saying that. Yeah. But we just saw this unbelievable athlete that just powered past the whole lot of us throughout her long strides. It was great to get her back and just see what she could do. Because she is an unbelievable athlete, and we're just delighted that she didn't go with the scholarship and came back to Kerry. We were grateful to get her back, and sure, Jesus, she's a powerhouse, and we wouldn't be where we are without the likes of Kayla Cronin.
Your upbringing in football was quite different, I'd guess, on Gaeltacht.
On Gaeltacht, yeah.
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 There wasn't even English spoken in your house until you were five, I've heard.
No. We were brought up with Irish, obviously coming from the Gaeltacht area. Mm. It was everything we spoke. Had to learn English in secondary school, in primary school. Jeez, we're on that.
You good English for secondary school?
I don't know about that. I still don't have good English. His ears broken. That's something that I'm very proud of, to come from the Gaeltacht area. And I think everyone from back there would be proud of it. And, you know, we'd be proud people in the Gaeltacht of the language and trying to keep it alive at the moment and all that. But it's something very special, and something we hold dear in our hearts.
Yeah, you know, you're working as a PE and Irish teacher as well. Like, so that's obviously very important to you, and you've kept that. In terms of football, when you were growing up, I'd imagine family probably played a big part in that, but there was no real club out there for women to play or girls to play back then. There's a story that An Gaeilge took to kind of open the door to Pennell na Mann in, I think, January or maybe March 1999, and a few months later, an 8-year-old Louise na mBuir Shearty has signed up.
Yeah, something like that.
But that's still like an hour from home, is it? Or maybe half an hour?
Yeah, is it? Oh, God, no, it's about only like 10,
okay.
10 minutes.
But there was no club really before that. Okay.
Yeah. But sometimes we'd have to go to Lisbon to train. Yes. So if Galeras wasn't available, so that'd be about maybe 25 minutes. But no, on de Londra, and did a lot of work to found the club. And Joe, it's people that we're very grateful for, because the club is still going and it's thriving the whole time. But the guys at the club would always have been very open and welcome to the female teams, which is something really special as well. You know, the likes of Derek Nader back there is unbelievable, and even the bond between the two clubs now, Guelph and Corcoran, is growing the whole time. And you know, Galeras is our place to train, Galeras is our place to play games, and you know, that's where we started off. And it's just a fierce, windy spot, but
you know what way to win.
Unbelievable. Yeah, well, look, I don't know, does it work in our favours either sometimes? But yeah, no, it's special.
Where did the grow then for football come from? Like, was there always an O'Neill's at home, or I know you'd be close to your brother Cullum as well, who would have played a lot as well. Like, what was it that made you fall in love with football?
I think that being thrown into goals by Cullum anyway at a young age. He blasting the ball at me, I suppose that that kind of opened my eyes, I suppose. That's Cullum, yeah.
Yeah.
And then obviously going on to primary school, we had Liam O'Rohan, who I've mentioned before, played a massive part in all of us that played football back in the Gaeilge. Liam O'Rohan had a lot to say about that. And
he was a teacher or just a coach?
He was a principal in our primary school in Scanlan na Teirg. And he was obsessed with football. Sure, everything was football. You know, we do a bit of maths, we do a bit of English or whatever. help with the old English or whatever. And you're right, out you go now.
Really?
Class. I think primary school is so important, though.
Yeah.
But like, if you're in a sporty primary school, you've some advantage if you don't. Like,
it's your first exposure to games.
Like, yeah, we were very lucky where we grew up. Like, every kid that went to that school had to kick a ball. You know, they had no choice. There was a lot of girls in my class maybe that I wouldn't have no interest whatsoever, but they had no choice.
It was on the report card, like.
It was, yeah. That was number one.
Louise, you could have played everything, and we spoke of the benefits of playing other sports, particularly at that age, because you just, without even realise your developing skills and hand-eye coordination. Did you play all the other sports as well, or was that there, or was it solely on playing Gaelic football?
No, obviously football was the main one back our way.
A clatter of handball medals too, am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been a big one.
Probably more successful handball with the medals.
Really?
Yeah. Probably just should have stuck with that, maybe. But Father Kieran came back and he started up handball, and like, we would have been going to Ventry Hall, you know, for youth clubs and all that, but what we didn't know was upstairs there was, in the secret door was a handball alley and a squash alley. And it wasn't until Father Kieran came back that he started it up.
Really?
And Aileen Luing did a load of work with us. And we had some unbelievable years there playing handball. And again, the club grew and grew. But then came a time that Father Kieran was moved parishes, and it just kind of stopped.
Right.
And I suppose my playing days stopped when I first went in with Kerry. And
were you 14 when you first went in with Kerry?
14 when I first trained.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, I didn't make my way onto the under-16 panel, so they brought me in to train, and then I kind of made my way onto the under-16 panel. And yeah, Robbie Griffin brought me in, and my first start then, I was 16, but
that was against Laois in 2008.
Yeah, in the league, wow. Up in Laois, so
were you?
We had a handball competition the Saturday, a team of 10 competition, and Robbie kind of told me, look, listen here now, Louise, you're starting on Sunday, but only if you don't go to the handball. If you go to the handball, you're not starting. And I said, here, Jesus, Robbie. But at the time, like, all I wanted to do was play for Kerry, obviously. I was loving life playing handball. It was unbelievable sport that I'd love to go back playing again. But yeah, Robbie gave me that choice, and
it is, ultimate. Like,
that was the end of that.
When you get to that sort of level, it's
yeah.
I suppose you do have to make a call now.
Either this or
yeah, but then yeah. You look at the girls that are playing basketball and football, and it works hand in hand. And I said, please, this could have been done. Like, but
what does handball give you? I know they're like it's closely related in lots of ways, but what does it get? Is it balance? Is it?
It's everything, really. It's fitness, it's coordination, hand-eye coordination yeah. Reaction. It's just an unbelievable sport. It's really fast. It's a class sport to watch. And even the winter now, the past few years, I've gone back playing and played there long in a few games. And he's all right, like, yeah, you know. Yeah, but yeah.
That's good. So you both had serious exposure to other sports, which completely contributed to your football career. Like,
yeah,
it's so proven, yeah. I think, that you have to be exposed to other things. Otherwise, you just get stale in your own sport, I think.
Yeah, I think it, Joe. When you're in school, primary school, secondary school, like the teachers training you, do some amount of work, helping you with those sports, because we'd had football, basketball, a bit of soccer, I suppose. You know, they expose you to these sports, and then you obviously you have to pick at the end. But yeah, I think it's so important for young kids to play as many sports and do as much activity as they can when they're
younger. You might be unbelievable at one, but you take smaller lessons from every sport you play. Yeah. And that's, like, you, bit of a break. Football is magic and we all love it and it's our passion, but there's times we said it gets heavy as well. Like in the off season, the last fucking thing you want to do is go and play football again. But you want to keep training, so you try something else. So it's definitely a benefit through your younger years to kind of contribute to your game. But
what did you play?
Soccer.
You play soccer?
Soccer, yeah.
Oh yeah, you were
terrible at athletics. It was all right at soccer, yeah.
You're decent at soccer, weren't you?
I was this size when I was about 8. So that was the thing about
it. Three-time Dublin minor.
Once everyone got the same age, and they realised I had no fucking skill. Like, right, I'll stick with the guy. But I loved it, yeah. Yeah, I loved it. And it definitely helped. Yeah, 100%. It helped my Gaelic football a bit. Anyway,
Did you have another sport?
I was big into soccer as well.
Okay.
I thought I was going to be
He's told us this story on a weekly basis. Yeah. Dave's a Kerry David Beckham.
No, I wish I played basketball, all right, because basketball was big in Clarny at the time, but I never got stuck in it. And a couple of lads did, and they definitely got a big advantage from it.
Yeah, McCauley, obviously, and you guys at Donaghy as well. It's probably the most obvious.
Yeah, you could kind of pick a
skill that comes across.
You could see straight away, like, he definitely or she definitely plays basketball. Yeah. Like, it's
they can think differently. Yeah, you nearly see things.
It's using your body. So, like, I think every basketball, they know how to use their backside way more.
Like an arm coming over.
And, like, you've mentioned obsession. Speaking about a couple of other people that are obsessed by football, like, was it an obsession for you? Like, were you always kicking ball? Was it always working on the skills, thinking about it? Like, was that life? Like,
yeah, it was life, and that's all we knew. Obviously, in the back garden, it would have been kicking ball the whole time. We would rarely be inside. Everything was outside, kicking ball, practicing. And I think, you know, you have to do that, I think, when you're at a young age. But yeah, it was an obsession. If I wasn't as obsessed, I don't think I would have come back year in, year out.
Yeah.
You know, I think you do need to have that bit of craziness and a bit of obsession to keep coming back. But it was just, the grow of the game was something else, and always will be like, you know. It's what we were brought up with, and yeah, always an O'Neill's in hand.
Is there a feeling or is there a thing in a game that keeps you coming back? Like, is it spinning a defender? Is it the ball going over the black spot?
Like,
what is it that to you is like, that's my moment?
Getting past Kayleigh with the ball.
The standing ovations on the other.
No. Look, there's no denying it. Year in, year out, you're coming back to win the All-Ireland. That was the thing.
Chasing
the dream, yeah. That was the main goal. But I think the group we've had the previous years, you've always wanted to come back with them as well anyway, because the bond you develop is something very special, and you want to be around them the whole time. And when you're not, you miss them. But sharing that goal with a group of 35 girls and 10 management was something unbelievable. And yeah, I was chasing Brendan.
Yeah, and like, but it's also the shadow of that unbelievable Kerry team that did 9 in a row, win their 10th in 93. Mary Jo Kern would have been involved at times. Geraldine Shea would have been involved as well. Like, Geraldine played in 93, I think, didn't she?
She did, yeah.
That was her first goal. Year. She was on 15, she scored a goal.
Wow.
That was her first All-Ireland, her first year with Kerry, first All-Ireland.
And she was involved as well.
And she played till 2008.
So you would have played with her in 08?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that was unreal. I would have played with her in club, and then 2008 with Kerry, and yeah, she was just something. She was unreal. She was a class act. Like, she knew where you were running before you even knew yourself. Do you know? She'd give you the nod, like, really, kind of thing. Yeah. And yeah, finished up that year, lost to Mayo in an All Ireland quarter final in Croke Park.
In 08.
Where she got to play in Croke Park in 08, yeah. And lost by a point, but Geraldine scored a goal in the last few minutes. And
goals was always the thing with her, wasn't it? Like, even sure, for Ireland at soccer, like, yeah. Yeah, she was obsessed with scoring goals, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was. And yeah, she was just unbelievable. And to have played for that long, you know, and I remember her saying, like, 93, she won her first, and she thought, Mother God, this is going to be unbelievable.
Yeah, it's going to happen every year.
Yeah, and never got to a final after that, you know, which is very hard. And but, like, yeah, it's such an athlete, such a role model for us when we were younger, and we were just idolising Geraldine in our club. Like, we were just, like, so lucky to have her in our club. And, yeah, just to watch her play and to play alongside her was unbelievable.
16, getting to play your first game, doesn't really happen anymore. I know Cora Staunton would have been very young at the around this.
I think she was younger.
A little bit before that, maybe 14, maybe when she was first breaking through. Is it too young? Was it too young at that time? Like, did you need a couple of years to be ready, do you think? Or if you could go back again, would you play? But I suppose the structures weren't really there, were they?
Different.
It was different. Is
it better now?
Oh, it's much better now, yeah. It's totally changed. I do remember going to trainings and going to the gym with the likes of Geraldine Shea, Gráinne Lárth and Asen Hulan from my own club, and like, they were big animals, like, you know, like, now they're trying to lift a dumbbell, like, but they took me under their wing and helped me develop as well. But yeah, looking back, it was unbelievable, like, wow, like, training with the likes of them and Sarah O'Connor and all them, and it was class, but training was tough. And I was thinking, Christ, I don't know how this at all. Like, but again, there was no pressure back then. So that was probably the best part.
Really?
You were going in as this young one, like, who the hell is she kind of thing, and no pressure whatsoever. It was nice. But yeah, I think it is young. It is great to have those years to try and kind of get your bearings and kind of see, okay, this is how it's done, this is what should be done. And yeah, it's not happening now, which I think is a good thing. It's probably too young, and I think 18, 19 is the best year, even though I think they still need a few years to get their bearings and kind of learn what needs to be done. And
I think the strength conditioning has come so far as well that, like, even like 5-6 years ago, girls were coming off the minor team and literally coming straight in and nearly starting for us. You think of, like, so Julie, Hannah, Fina, all those at the time, like Schieffer and all them, like, they came straight in, not a bother. Whereas, like, think the last 2 years, like, it's not because there's less, like, quality players coming through, but, like, strength conditioning has gone so far that, like, their bodies need to catch up.
Takes time to build up.
Yeah, it's different. Girls and boys used to be different, like, because girls, you could kind of, once you were 15, 16, you were nearly having grown already, like, and your fellas, obviously, are later, but I don't know, I think now you have to have a serious block done in the gym before you can be running into girls these days, so.
But we even found that, you know, coming up against the likes of Cork and Dublin, who would have been in the gym a lot and would have been following an S&C programme for a few years. That's, I think, where we were falling. Like, we were always probably, like,
football-wise,
well able to solo and kick it, but it physicality, was our physicality and the lack of that kind of, Jesus, we were very far behind.
Yeah. We might come back to that in general a little later, because I know integration is a conversation that has kind of accelerated in ways, but I don't know that we have an actual answer in terms of when it's going to actually happen. But, you know, there was no club in Cork Aguina for quite a while. It's a relatively new club, isn't it? Like, you would have played, did it disappear for a little while and come back?
Yeah, and we...
You've won a junior recently in your intermediate.
We didn't have any club for a few years. Just girls weren't playing and the interest wasn't there. So a few of us found ourselves playing with Na Gael for a year.
You won an All-Ireland Junior, right?
Yeah, we did, yeah. It was an unbelievable journey, actually. But I think people were giving out, there was a lot of blow-ins in that club. And the Gael were poaching, but look.
Was that only 1 year you played with him?
That was 1 year, yeah. Myself and Kira Murphy.
And you won it all?
But I played, we won the All-Ireland, but Joe, they opened their doors for us, and if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't have any football. And Joe, you have to have a club to play county, so Joe, there was a fear there that Jesus can't play county either, so and then kind of transfers and a disaster 1 year with null transfer and
really
got suspended for a month.
You did,
yeah, for doing, I don't know what, I still don't know. Okay. 10 years on, I don't really know, but...
I didn't come across that in my prep here, so...
I've been throwing myself the scared yeah. Lead up.
So it was just like
a technicality
like.
I kind of treated like a criminal that I was playing really? Too many clubs, but Jesus, I was only a young one trying to play football, and I went to a county game one day and I was told, no, you're not allowed.
What?
Went to a club game, wasn't allowed with the team, had to watch from the car.
Oh my God.
I actually nearly hung up the boots. I said, this is absolutely sad.
Yeah.
So that was, is that around, was a tough time.
What, are we talking 13, 14 around that time, or is it a bit earlier?
I think it was a bit earlier. I don't even remember now. Mm. It was maybe 12, 13 or earlier. I actually don't even remember. Deleted from my memory, to be honest.
Yeah.
It wasn't a great time, so.
I can imagine.
Yeah, but thankfully Corcoran is back and we've good underage system, good players coming through and trying to find our way out of intermediate at the moment.
You've met these lads along the way, Dr.
Yeah, we have, God almighty. We haven't beaten them, I'd say, since, well, we beat you in the semi-final, I suppose, a few years ago. Yeah. Great game.
That was junior.
Yeah, intermediate, wasn't it?
Oh, intermediate.
Intermediate, yeah. Semi-final, yeah. But we lost the final. Geraldine Flynn, actually from Cork.
Yeah.
Played with us that year, and what a legend. She had her hand that weekend in Cork. And we played Crokes in Crokes.
Oh, that weekend?
Came home the Sunday morning for the game.
From Corcoran.
Oh, wow.
They're like, this is in your club, like, and she played in goals, and what a legend. She was a legend before that, but good God almighty, like.
She cemented it there.
Yeah, unbelievable.
No, couldn't have done without that day.
But yeah, look.
So you're chasing that, you're trying to get the senior.
Yeah, we're trying to do what Crokes have done and gone up senior and... I've been doing really well up senior, but we're a relatively young team, I suppose, at the moment. So, yeah, look, we're knocking at the door, but trying to get the final set.
It's something else to chase now after you've done.
Yeah, helped the club up.
Got a hold of Brendan Merton. For you guys, I've seen a couple of the Instagram stories. You had the trip away to the Recormick game with the Dr. Crokes team. There's a trip to probably the Midlands for an All-Ireland semi-final in...
Or Leash or somewhere.
In January, yeah, you'd be imagining.
Or Leash.
But for yourselves, we're going to talk about the All-Ireland Ladies Club Final in a moment. You were in the mix in Kerry?
Yeah, look, we came out of nowhere realistically, a couple of years ago. Even when I started playing with Crokes, I remember winning, I've won Division 3 in Division 2 with Crokes, and I've won a junior and intermediate with them. So we were down the very bottom of the barrel in terms of ladies football. But always never had the crack, to be fair, And that's kind of half it. That's how you keep girls interested, to be honest. We found over the years we were losing girls kind of early 20s and even just late teens. We were thinking, how are we going to keep these on? And it was basically just by creating the band that we were kind of speaking about with Kerry as well. Just creating that, girls stay on, and we do so much together, we started now, a little group following the boys around the place as well. And it's ferocious crack, there's serious players coming through there as well, we've two girls now this year as well, gone into to Kerry with myself, you've Leah Mack and Laura Shea. Cousins. but Leah's brother's in the Croke team as well, so... The girls are our biggest supporters always, the girls that have been minors as well coming up. And literally, whenever Kerry is finished, whether it's after not Ireland, whether it's after the quarterfinal, whatever, you've always hear people oh Christ, they're at the club there now in a week, you'd be dreading it, whatever. And I'm literally when will they let me back? Do I have to wait a week? I absolutely love it. The crack is something else. And literally, I don't think, I was talking about during the week, somebody else, I played 3 games with the club this year, it's a sin. And it's not by my own doing, I can do nothing about it.
Wow.
It's just a pity that I can't give back more to them, to be honest, and to the club in general, not mind the team, because I don't think the split season, anyway, for the girls is split. If I'm playing 9 months with Kerry and only get 3 games with Crokes, I'd give anything to be able to do more for them. But don't know where it's going to fit in, is the only thing.
Dr. Noel McCaffrey, Jack's father, has actually brought a motion to Congress next February to bring a rule that inter-county players have to play, I think, at least 4 or 5 games in a season. So, there might be a conversation about that again down the line, but that is mad that you only get the...
We made a semi-final,
Yeah.
So it wasn't as if we were knocked out early doors, you know what I mean? It was just the way the system worked this year. There was 2 groups in senior. It's disappointing, because number one, you're after coming off such a high with Kerry, trying to get in and going to Croke, but you also kind of imposter syndrome, what you're saying, these girls are training here like dogs since February. I'm only showing my face here, taking someone's spot that's been playing all year. Yeah, and new girls maybe coming in this year in the panel that I hadn't trained with all year because I was away. trying to figure out like what did I kick with, like, how can I help them and how can you help? And you're trying to stay quiet, yeah. And you're asked to be a leader, and it's tough, it is. But it's just something that going forward, like I'd love to be able to kind of do more, to be honest.
That's interesting. It's hard to know what the answer is. Mm. James, I know we've been banned from mentioning Dr. Crokes in the football pod for about three seasons, but we haven't been able to help
it.
We haven't been able to help it the last couple of weeks.
No, they're flying.
Yeah, they are flying.
They are flying. Yeah. But I mean, isn't it true with the club season? Like you don't know who is gonna beat who. Mm. Because everyone is just playing with everything on the line. It's just completely doing it today. But like you said a great point about the family scene in Kerry, and the same with the Crokes. Mm. Like, isn't it way more than a football team now? It has to be. It has to be your social. Yeah, it has to be.
Teams that don't have that.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
But they're not going to win anything. But it has to be your social circle. It has to be your family. It has to be, you know, your quiet time. You have to rely on each other for so much. Mm. And I think coaches fall down in that area where they go, right, we're going to do this in training or this drill or this tactic. It's only a small bit about that sometimes. It's about everything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
Katie, you said it like it's the crack, and you. If you want to put that much into it, you basically put your life on hold. That becomes your life. There has to be a semblance of enjoyment in it. Like,
oh, there does, yeah.
And we see it. We've seen it. My own team, a couple of our key guys moving on. And the message is kind of that. I always said it becomes a bit of a chore.
Picking up the bag, the training.
Yeah.
Fenton said it last week, like, but we were laughing about it on the pod. I go, yeah, I know that feeling. When it starts getting to that point and it's a bit of a drag going training. Like, it should be the best time of your life. It is the best time of your life.
And it sounds like it is for you anyway at the moment.
But that's no secret to success you're having then.
That's
it's no secret. Like, if it becomes that chore and it's a bit of a pain in the arse to go and do this, I think the writing's on the wall. Like, you're not going to enjoy it. You're not going to get the best out of yourself. Mm-hmm. And if the team environment is like that, well, then there's no chance you're going to do anything. You
know? Yeah, and it's funny that was the feeling of my first year with Kerry. Like, I was, 22, I was, or something. Like, I should have been absolutely hopping. Like, I used to be driving over. I remember passing Kerry and being like, oh, fuck.
Nervous.
About 5 minutes down the road. And not nervous because, like, girls weren't nice or, like, anything like that. Like, it was just being like, there's going to be war tonight. No. I wonder who's going to cause it. Like, you know, and just the dread of going in there. You were nearly nervous coming in. And, like, now, like, if you get the text being like, oh, dressing room was open from 6, like, you're there at 10 to waiting for it. Whereas before, it's like training, it was at 7:30.
Quarter past,
I'll show my face.
That culture,
whereas now you're like,
just,
and you're kind of like being like, oh, I hope, you know, we get a bit of food after and people stay and eat together after.
Yeah,
big bring tick, a carton of milk so we can have a cup of tea, like, you know.
My last season was COVID season. Ugh. And all of that was gone. Like, and by that stage, I was on my last legs. I was dragging the air out of it. Like, and you couldn't even have food after training. Yeah. So we literally got to just do the worst bit, which was the training.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, man, no crack beforehand, no cup of scald after, food in the night. So it's. Yeah.
It is a drag down.
It's a disaster then. Yeah. If you just have to do the training.
Louise, you've been plagued with this question. Mm-hmm. Has it become a drag? Are you going to pick up the boots again?
But there he is. There he is. Tommy with the retirement question.
He said he'd never ask.
I've been the Grim Reaper this winter with a couple of interviews. But is 2025, have you made the mind up yet? I know the medals are Friday night.
Yeah, we'll get our hands in the medal anyway first. It's been an unbelievable few months, but also the back of mind, the question is there, will I, won't I? I still don't know. I'm probably one of the worst decision makers on planet Earth, but I don't know. I don't know what to say, but I don't know. Cynel decided, but yeah.
Are you?
Kayleigh's looking at me there.
You're going back. Side eye. We're slagging away there the past couple of weeks.
I haven't gone back anywhere in the same venue in recent years. So.
Go back in February's plenty of time.
They're not missing me, I don't think so.
Will you get space on Friday night or will they be annoying you now that I brought it up?
I don't know. I think the group know. Mm. Not to approach me with that question, but the old journalists now are picking. But. everywhere I go, it's the same question by randomers here, there, everywhere. But
tough.
Look, I suppose I'm at that age that people will be asking the question all that. But
we've been kind of doing the rounds with the football pod club, and it's not an easy question to answer. And you can see how it tortures people to try and figure out when the right time is to go. So best of luck with making that decision, and
thanks very much.
And hope you get a bit of space and stay away from the likes of me. Kayleigh, the story came out last week, and. In a way, it was a little bit out of the blue, but it's not surprising either that you're actually you might be playing AFLW next year, that Adelaide Crows have signed you. Is that true? I haven't heard you on talk about that yet. Is that,
yeah,
is that on the cards now? Because it's been an opportunity for loads of women in the last couple of years.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's, see what time this is being released now. but yeah, it should be coming out officially now in the next day or two.
Really?
Hopefully. Yeah, paperwork's gone in now. A long saga, to be honest, because it's gone on for a while. The reason it was delayed really was because there was an agreement, very solid, nice agreement made, that basically I could play with Kerry for the year and go way over then.
Okay.
And that was all set in stone, ready to go. And then the association over made the announcement that they were changing the start dates, which kind of threw everything into disarray, but your luck.
So what does that mean? That means that you can
basically
play
the first round over, and their first round is starting the same weekend as the All-Ireland final here.
Wow.
So it's a short season over. They haven't quite, I suppose, gotten as expensive as the boys. Like, there's 18 teams over there at the minute, but they don't all play each other. So right, we end up with about 12 or 13 games. And the way it's working is, like, every year they're adding an extra game. And then there's teams that are being added to the competition in 27, 28. So it will eventually become a lot longer.
Same with the lads,
but yeah, they're basically, every single year, they're kind of expanding to get to
so
that.
So we've seen people do both, and players do both, yeah, over the last couple of years. But that's sort of coming to an end, is it?
Yeah.
And It's not really possible to do an extra for you to play.
Well, I would say it depends on the club, to be honest, and the player. So, like, if a club was willing to let a girl go out until, let's say, the first weekend of August, if they got there, they'd probably have to have been there before and done it and shown their worth.
Yes.
And, like, you know, because obviously the skills of the game, if you're brand new, like myself, like, it's a different story. You can't just rock over week three and just think, like, right, let me in there, so I'll head,
yeah,
you know. Because look, the success by the Irish girls over there has been phenomenal. Yeah. Literally every single girl that goes over there is successful, you know.
We saw Vicky Wall last week, Ola, yeah, Dwyer's flying, yeah, there's 34
Erica
flying.
Erica O'Shea as well was with Vicky, wow, as well, like, yes, you know. So she just signed an extension for 2 weeks or two more years there, a couple of weeks ago. So there's, I think, the bones of about 34 over there.
Wow.
And then already this signing period, there's been another four or five, so.
It's not slowing down.
It's not.
Will there be a few, Kayleigh, in Adelaide with you, or?
Like, yeah,
there's a good crew there.
Yeah, so Niamh Kelly from Mayo,
she's
there at the minute. Amy Boyle Carr as well, signed last year. And like that, like, because the season.
It's a bit easier to.
100%,
yeah.
And
yeah,
actually, Niamh's sister Grace, when he got announced there recently, her sister's joining her as well. That'll be class, yeah. So there's three of them there currently. But just even speaking to Amy kind of over the last couple of weeks, she was saying how hard it was for her to come over off the back of Donegal season,
yeah,
have basically a 3 week pre-season and then expected, yeah, to go in. Like, she said, she didn't give herself a chance, basically. You know?
That was what I was going to ask you. How long beforehand do you need to go over then? Is it a case of you need to be over there for the pre-season?
Very dependent for the clubs and the players. Like I said, like somebody like, let's say, Vicky, Erica, all those girls, like Niamh McLaughlin's been there, and Niamh Kelly, all these girls, like, they're there with years. Like, they know the skills of the game. Like, they,
yeah,
know,
yeah,
everything.
It's built up,
so,
yeah,
potentially there's a, like, you could get like an agreement anyway between the clubs to be like, look, you're going to miss round one, whatever, if you make it to the final. But I think that, like, this is probably the last year, like, because next, yeah, year it's going further again then. Yeah,
but you're looking forward to it.
What, looking forward to it, yeah, yeah, it's going to be different. Like,
yeah,
I think, like, one of the big things, like, coming into, obviously, after the defeat last year, sitting around in the winter thinking to myself, like, what am I doing myself, like, you know. Thinking, like, you know, am I seriously just going to do the same thing all over again next,
yeah,
year, and not in terms of football, but just in terms of life in general, yeah, being like, I'm very comfortable where I am at the minute, like, realistically, but sure, look, nothing grows there.
But,
so.
Was the decision easier, because it's a massive decision, mm-hmm, obviously, but was it easier on the back of finally winning with Kerry? They're kind of, I did that, now we can go, if Jesus, God forbid, it would have went, mm-hmm, bad again against Galway.
Yeah.
Would it have been a different decision, maybe, or?
It actually had nothing to do with it.
Really?
The reason being is that it's a process that started last January, February.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Wow, okay, right.
Now, in and out, Christ, like, I would have had different conversations. Well, that's a lie. I would have had different communications, mm, with different clubs over the year, and literally never entertained it. Literally, no thanks, whatever.
You were holding on for more money.
Cute guy humor. Didn't kind of, like, you know, I wasn't kind of, my interest hadn't peaked, basically. And then, yeah, this year, I remember getting a couple of texts and kind of saying, like, you know, I had spoken to a couple of girls already over there that had just no true football, and they were saying how good it was and how, you know, so how well amazing they get on, and just, yeah, the experience, yeah, and everything. And I was kind of humming and hawing, and I was saying, you know what? I pick up the phone. I rang Darren Deck, I rang both of them. I was like, before I even open a message or get on to anyone, I said, is this going to be a problem if I just look into it? And they said, work away, girl.
Wow.
So shut it down then for the summer, just when it was just starting to get serious to carry it. I don't want to know nothing about it or hear anything about it. And then kind of September again, it picked up. So I'd met a couple of clubs over, like, maybe January to May, and just kind of listening to what it was about, basically, what was involved in it, whatever. And then September, not a few clubs came knocking, whatever, and then it was just decision time. So
By meeting clubs, like, are you just talking about the logistical side of it, or do they want to see? Do they want to see you train or play with the ball, or like, is there any sort of physical test they want to do with you, or is it just they just want to talk?
Already
they want. They know they need. They know they want.
Like, so it's very easy. Like, there's no such thing as like trial. Well, that's such a lie. I'm very easy. Like, but you don't have to like do trials. Or they know that, like, basically, like, all the skills that you have as a Gaelic footballer translate so well over. All you gotta do is learn to kick the billy ball straight.
But like, you can just see like the defensive masterclass in the All Ireland final this year. Like, you can see like the physicality that you play with. You talked about the athleticism. You can see how she's going to do over there as well. Like, it's exciting to hear someone like Hayley going over.
Yeah,
in ways.
Yeah, when she told us, it was like excited for her. And Joe, we'll tune in, watch her as well.
So no pressure, Kayleigh. Early Saturday morning.
But no, it's absolutely unbelievable, because we've been on about a few years. Like, how has Hayley not gone over? How has she not been approached? Like, it's just, she's just has everything. She ticks all the boxes for it. And yeah, I can't wait to watch her play. And I'd say she'll get on really well, but
we'll find out.
She'll be a massive loss for Kerry, obviously. Do you know?
Of course.
But like, it's something that she needs to do, and we all wish her the very, very best luck.
Yeah, I think like all these conversations are happening around, you know, the AFL and the men's, and even the NFL now with you know, the likes of Charlie Smith and Rory Began last year. But I find it very difficult to not just be excited for people getting an opportunity to play professional. I know we're losing you to. You know, our sports here, but like the opportunity to play professional sports is just special.
Yeah, I think it's kind of rearing its head a good bit these days, especially with Pat the Bag. He was on about a couple of boys as well the last day, so I was avoiding him in town on Sunday.
So were yourself and Charlie Keating practicing down in the
a rumour going around, all right. But
there was a savage rumour going around.
But yeah, that's fine.
Lots of rumours, man.
Look, you can see why, like, you know, it's hard, like, but then again, like, you know, why aren't Wexford giving out about the boys that went down to play rugby? Like, they're not. Like, it's only if you go over, seems to be if you go over to Australia, you're shunned forever.
Kildare lads with the actors losing their lads.
Let's go after Hollywood.
But look, it's not, I don't think it's coming from a place of badness either. They're just like that, like looking for, they've realistically reared the people that are going over there and looking for maybe for a bit of compensation or something, but don't know how it'll work, to be honest.
The fairness, the focus has been on Kerry because it's this county, but the men's and ladies have been the most affected by it.
But the men's really like, but are you one of the first Kerry?
Paris and Julia are over
there. Yes, they're over there now.
Yeah, two of them are over in Sydney at the minute, and they're both flying.
So you can see the perspective of obviously the clubs and Kerry's a county. You think Mark O'Connor was on.
Mark O'Connor's flying as well,
What a loss he and Tommy Walsh went when he'd already broken into the scene. You can see the frustration with it, but if you look for the individuals, look what you said, Louise, what an opportunity. And it's a personal decision in the end, but to go and experience that, it's an amazing life thing to do, to be a professional athlete. And like, you might go and you might fucking hate it.
And be useless.
And be brutal and come back and play with Kerry again. And
it would be like playing with the Dubs. Complete professional athlete for as long as you need to.
I'm outnumbered here. I'm not even going to come back on that one. But I just genuinely, from an individual's perspective, what a. I'd be the same as you, Tommy, and same as Louise. And obviously, your decision, what an opportunity to go and enjoy it and experience it. It'll be amazing.
Did it ever come across your path?
I would have gotten a mess drive, but Jesus, if they knew me at all, they wouldn't be texting me, because God help us and save us, I wouldn't be Martin O'Connor or Kerry at all. I loved playing football with Kerry too much. And I know you would have been able to play both, but geez, no, I'd be too much of a homer, to be honest, to go all the way over to Australia.
Okay.
But look, everyone that's gone over there and those that are going over there are doing unbelievable work for Ireland and representing Ireland and GAA as well. So, best luck to everyone over there and going over there, but not for me.
That is affirmative and taken on board, Louise. Just quickly on the All-Ireland Club Final on Saturday afternoon, a Kilmacud Croke side going up against Kilcairn Clonburn side that are the giants of the game. I think they're 43 games unbeaten. Are they chasing four in a row?
Something frightening is four in a row,
You know, you'd have been keeping an eye on the build up to this like?
Yeah, I was just following obviously Castle Island as they were going through. Always kind of as a club comes out of Kerry, try and keep an eye on them and wish them the best and everything. And they held their own, to be fair, against Crokes in the first half. Now both had missed goal chances and everything, but Crokes, you could just see that extra little bit of experience kind of pay dividends in the second half. They were lifting. Both teams are phenomenal. It's to be honest, it's the final we probably should have gotten two years ago, or was it last year?
Last year, when they
did extra time.
Extra time, yeah.
That was some game, like, and then like Kilcarran went on to kind of walk the final in, like, you know, so looking forward to it now, both teams in a big Croke Park, like, I think it'll be an absolute cracker.
You'd have come up against a lot of the Galway stars as well, of that Kilcarran Clonburn team as well, so they're both stacked, both teams. What way do you see it swinging? Can you see them being stopped?
I'd say it'll be an unbelievable game. As Kayleigh said, like the game last year was unbelievable. It's just two super teams. Obviously, first time for Kilmacud Crokes, but like a lot of them players have experienced Croke Park and All Ireland final days before, so that'll help them along, and they'll help the younger players along on that kind of big day as well, big stage. But what Kilcarran have achieved is something unbelievable altogether, and the players they have, the amount of sisters on the team as well is just class. Like, it's a pure club environment, like pure family. But we're looking forward to the final, and it should be a cracker.
Yeah, it'll be brilliant. Yeah.
Was that Shane Walters club?
Yeah, it would have been, but it's
I've mixed emotions there for him.
Oh yeah,
throwing the ball in on Saturday. Yeah. Oh jeez, what do you call it that? Jeez.
Yeah.
Hit the half and half.
Split jerseys.
I hate those half and half jerseys.
Two of the Galway girls playing with Kim Cuddy.
Of course, it's incredible. That half and half jersey. Somebody should
have made one. Half and half games. Somebody should have made one now to weekend, but it'll be a class game.
That is the AIB All Ireland Ladies Club final on Saturday evening, 5 o'clock. It's on the TV, so check that one out. Kilcarran Clonburn up against Kilmacud Crokes. I usually say quickfire, and it ends up not being quickfire, but you've been unbelievable with your time. So there is just a couple of them. We got a message on the Football Pod Instagram page a few weeks ago from Sarah Breen in and around when the FRC were revealing the rules for Gaelic football, the changes they're making to it. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on it. Sarah said, "Hi, lads. Just wondering, did a new GA rules come into the LGFA? And if so, does it come into LGFA underage?" So it doesn't, right? They're not. They're just looking at men's football. But you can see already what ramifications it might have for hurling. And also, potentially, does the LGFA need something like this? If you could make changes to women's football, would you start with that? Or would you be looking elsewhere? I know Cora Staunton was talking about it during the week, and she said she would have fancied the 2-point arc in her day. That there may not be the boot in her. And then that while defensive football isn't as much of a scourge, we could say, you know, I know the Meath team had an unbelievable system in 21 and 22 when they went on and won, but it isn't as endemic. But the 3-3 structure was another thing that she would be quite interested in. Is there things that you would have been interested in terms of
the 3-3?
Shoot her down.
Just about it. It was picking on me. And again, it was picking on me a few weeks ago that I would have loved it to stay inside. But you're inside forward, that's what you want to do. But
of course it is.
That's what you're meant to be doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
That is exactly your primary role. They have to turn your corner forward into a wing back.
Yeah, I know.
Jeez. But the three up, you're the still leaving. Like, I think that's when I come into men's football in the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Like, you know, before that, you'd still leave 3 or 4 up.
Not always.
The lads wouldn't get you to be bringing
13 or 14.
Yeah, exactly. Four set.
Like, if there's not 4 up, you're getting roared at, like.
Yeah. Like, you can't transition the ball if you don't have the 3 or 4 up.
Yeah. Like, the girls would have been given out to us to track back or whatever, and then the boys would be like, Jesus Christ, stay up, like, you want to stay up. And then you have Anna Gavin on your back and Kayleigh and...
Not every coach.
Not
every team operates like that.
Then be fled, but... Yeah, no, thankfully the whole defensive thing isn't in the ladies. Now, we did come across it against Donegal this year, and it was absolutely desperate game to watch and to...
It's boring to play in, like.
It is.
Oh, like,
it was hard to break it down. Well,
like, did it end up turning itself into, like, possession football, holding it and waiting, or, like...
Yeah, like, I was injured on that day, so I was watching, but it was just torrential rain, trying to break it down... it was just over and back, and
I think on the men's side it had infected, maybe is the wrong word, but it had gotten into every single game at every level. And the reality was the men's game was broken.
19 isn't at that yet.
No,
still some brilliant games.
No, thankfully. And the final showed that, like, you know, it was a pure football, open football, beautiful game.
Maybe one or two in the room, but like the men's game, it's so rare that everything got through Congress, sailed through it, because everyone could see we have to change this because it had infected all aspects of the game.
We had James McCarthy on a few weeks ago, and it was like he'd been waiting for 15 years to actually open his mouth. He was like, I waited till I had a chance. And the thing that he wanted to say was that he wanted more physicality in men's football. Yeah. And you could tell that with him, it would have suited him down to the ground. Is that something that's needed in women's football?
Not a doubt, the amount of S&C that goes in and you can't touch somebody, like, it's bankers.
It's kind of
like
non-contact.
But I think, to be honest, the biggest thing is like the contact, the level of contact is so different for every ref. That it's actually impossible. You spend literally half your analysis the week before the game is who's the ref, does he allow or she, and like, you know, what does he blow for, what doesn't he blow for, and that's
wrong.
You're playing to the ref rather than playing to the nearly the opposition.
The rules,
So physicality, 100%. Girls are well able; they'll be flying inside in training, attacking each other. You're going to get hurt no matter what.
I know.
It's fine, like.
I think people who casually tune into women's football, they're like, well, how is that a free? Mm-hmm. They're like, they don't get it, like, but the rules are actually, the tackle is totally different.
But we're confused at times as well, like, you know, how was that for, like, you know, and as Katie said, every ref is different, so you just don't know what you're going to be called for. So, yeah, no, a bit more physicality. I know teams and management have been saying it for years, but that, I think, needs to come in, because the S&C has gone through the roof, so.
No, you can definitely see that. Well, I think we might see after the 2025 season whether this process has been a success in football, and then whether, you know, the other sports pick it up on it as well. It might just lead us into integration. And there was a serious bit of momentum, and I know this has been talked about for a long time. Like, it's probably been framed as being the magic fix, if there's one needed. I don't know if that's true. I'll ask you about that. But how do you feel about all of that? Because you've had such an unbelievable viewpoint as well from being involved since you were 16 years old, but also playing from a young girl when there wasn't a club anywhere near you at the time. Like, so how do you feel where we're at the minute when it comes to stuff like that?
I think we're nearly there, but we're also still a bit off being equal. But the whole integration was due to happen, I think, 27.
Yeah.
But I think they're pushing that out again, which is, as a ladies footballer, it's very disappointing. Because I think everyone's kind of getting ready for 27, and then again, everything coming under the one umbrella. Will it fix everything? I don't know, because there's still a lack of pitches around the place, and you know, you've obviously desperate weather, and pitches won't be available for teams. And obviously, as a ladies footballer, you're not going to be on the top of anyone's list, really. And that's kind of how it was, how it is still at the moment.
If there's integration, that can't be the case anymore, like.
Yeah, that's what you'd be hoping for. But like, Brusna have been unbelievable for us. They'll always open the doors for us. With the integration, you'd be hoping that every club would. But from seeing things through the years, it's kind of hard to see it happen straight away, because of, will the pitch be available for any team? And then, like, if it's available, it's going to be available for men's, is what I'm thinking still. But hopefully I'm wrong. But I know
you've seen the opposite of that. Like, you guys have faced these challenges playing for Kerry, like chasing all Ireland's, and you've probably come up against a lot of that.
Yeah, and like, I suppose even this year, like, the lads, Jesus, were unsure of where we were training day in, day out. Like, you know, they were, even the morning of, they'd still be thinking, where are we training? But Brust, as I said, were unbelievable to us. And then Kearns obviously was available for us from like May onwards or something. But I know there is going to be a pitch developed in the next few years, and it's just going to be for ladies teams, which is absolutely unreal. And it's what, like, we've been hoping to get for, like, we knew it wouldn't happen for us in my generation, but it's for the younger players. For them to have a base will be so important for the development of the ladies football in Kerry and beyond, obviously. But yeah, hopefully it happens sooner rather than later.
Like, it's obvious when you look at where it was, it's improved, but that's a pretty basic thing to be open for, like.
Yeah, it is. Like, obviously, sure, what else do you want to do? Like, if you don't have a pitch, like, what are you doing? Yeah. You're sitting at home. But it's just times we're in, I suppose, at the moment, and it's just the hard times. But yeah. Look, they were very, very hard times years ago, but we're kind of, I suppose, getting better as the years go on. And obviously, with our success this year, you'd be hoping that would help as well. Mm.
yeah, things are like getting better, like, because I know growing up you had local heroes, but there wasn't as much exposure, say, on TV and stuff. Can you feel a buzz with, you know, I know you're coaching as well, like with young women and young girls when it comes to playing football? Yeah, can you feel
I think I've seen something by Dick Reese. I know he's talking to, you know, Cork. Mm. They were saying something like an 18% increase in registration in girls across the county.
Okay.
And normally, like, you'd be looking at like maybe like 0.5% or 1% for a year. Oh,
right.
Whereas like it was 18 within Kerry, like, which is phenomenal, like, you know.
Yes.
And you're like, yeah, like you even walk around the town, like, you know, you can see like a girl talking on the mother's hens and be like, that's alright. You know, little things like that, like, and just being asked to help out in the club and everything like that, like, you can see the buzz is unreal. Like, I'd be up there, whatever, maybe like Tony or Gav would be there as well, and like,
yeah,
doesn't matter if it's boys or girls, like, they're all just so excited to see you. So it's definitely getting there. Obviously the exposure and stuff is huge, and success
success, you'd hope it doesn't have to, that shouldn't be the way, but it has such a massive impact when you see that the success there. We've seen it from the Dublin perspective when our ladies' team started winning. Just the participation numbers, that is the reality. It's the biggest games, the All-Ireland Final. Look at the attendances over the All-Ireland Final at Croke Park the last number of years. It's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. It probably shouldn't be the way that it has to have some success to put it in the limelight, but it definitely helps, you know.
Those, of course.
Yeah.
Those numbers to get that participation up.
I think what we learned was you didn't have to win in All-Ireland to get all these girls and boys to be obsessed with you, like, you know, they were coming to games. We are obviously doing way better than we were in previous years, but I think after the All-Ireland last year, we were obviously down the dumps and done with this kind of thing. But my vice principal brought her little boy and girl to school just to meet me or whatever, and just seeing them so excited was like an eye-opener, because I had felt, oh, geez, we've left the county down again. We've left the young ones down again. We haven't won the All-Ireland, but they were still excited.
They didn't give
a damn that we'd lost the All-Ireland.
Yeah.
But, like, you see the crowds at games in the last few years has just been unbelievable, and the kids running onto the pitch, and it's just, it would uplift you. But then, obviously, winning is something that'll stay with them, and it's something that they want to do, and, like, the work the TG Cahir have done has just been
amazing,
unbelievable the last, like, how many years. Because when we were growing up, we didn't see ladies football on TV. It's only been, whatever amount of years, TG Cahir have been on board, and it's just little ones see this. They see us play. They have role models, whereas I suppose our role models were majority male players, really, because we just didn't see. Obviously, Geraldine Shea was in the club, but we wouldn't have seen females.
Like,
no, so it wasn't there for us, where it is now, but yeah, like, meeting the kids is just something uplifting and really special,
Yeah, it's there's still a long way to go, like, but the improvements are there for everyone to see. And I think even AIB bringing all of the clubs under the one banner as well is a big thing. There are loads of club finals on this weekend in junior, intermediate, in the senior camogie and senior ladies. There's the All-Ireland Hurling semi-finals as well. And then the football semi-finals are going to be after Christmas. So that's the Football Pod Club. Louise McHarty, Kelly Cronin, thanks so much for chatting to us. I always give people a last opportunity to say anything they want to say before we finish off.
Up the Crocs.
Okay.
He let that in.
I'd say
that
when I was at the booth, so.
All more on Friday night, and Gormila Magus.
Gormila Magus.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Les.